Well, most Wisconsin outdoor enthusiasts, I count myself as one, have at one time or another in our lives stumbled upon or maybe visited an Indian Mound group. And as far back as the mid-1800s, scholars have debated the authorship of these mounds. And today we know that the mounds of eastern North America were built by a series of prehistoric Native American cultures spanning over 2,500 years. We'll be talking about the mounds today and about the Mississippian Indian culture with Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer and Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County Campus. And he's been coming by once a month to talk with us about our Indian cultures and their history, and really pleased to have him back to zero in today on the Mississippian Indian culture and our Wisconsin ancient mounds. You may have some questions or comments for Dean Plager as we go along. I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Dean Tom Plager with us by phone today. Tom, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Great to be with you, Larry, and always enjoy being on the program and have an opportunity to talk about Wisconsin archaeology.
Yeah, it's great fun. Were all of the Indian mounds of Wisconsin constructed prior to European contact in the 1600s? Or?
Well, in Wisconsin, there isn't, at least to my knowledge, any type of ethnographic or early historic documents of Native peoples building mounds at the time that Europeans arrived in our state. In other areas of the southeastern United States and the eastern U.S., there were some cultures still building mounds. And today we know that mound building tradition extends back some 2,500 years, but by the time Europeans arrived, Native peoples were no longer constructing mounds in Wisconsin, which really perplexed many of the first explorers and settlers in our region, because they saw these structures and didn't see contemporary Indian peoples in our region building them.
Hmm. Well, I know at one time had a lot of mounds in Wisconsin. How many do you think, or how many are estimated to have been destroyed as, you know, through development?
Well, the estimates vary. Across eastern North America, the number that I hear most often and see in the literature is perhaps as much as 80% of the prehistoric earthworks that were built by Native peoples in the eastern U.S., including Wisconsin, have been disturbed or heavily destroyed. Wisconsin is a state that has had a very long tradition of professional archaeology and preservation, so we're fortunate that a significant number of our mound sites, including woodland and Mississippian mound sites, have been preserved through actions of the State Historical Society, local historical societies, and the Wisconsin Archaeological Society.
How do archaeologists assign the mounds in Wisconsin to the various prehistoric cultures?
Well, last time we talked about the woodland tradition, which started about 2,500 years ago, and that's marked by the appearance of mound construction and pottery. And those early mounds in the early and middle woodland stages are predominantly conical mounds. They tend to be almost exclusively burial mounds. But starting around AD, let's say 700-800, there's a new type of mound construction referred to as effigy mound that covers much of the southern half of the state. And so we have early woodland mounds, middle woodland mounds that are predominantly conical and burial mounds, late woodland mounds that for the most part in southern Wisconsin are animal, linear, some conical forms that some include burials, others did not, that are in large groupings. And then starting about 1,000 years ago, there's an intrusion of a culture that originated in the American bottoms in the middle Mississippi River Valley that brought a new type of mound building, and that's platform mound building that served for structures, ritual structures, and houses to sit on top of. So there are at least three or four very distinctive mound building cultures where mounds were built by different peoples for different reasons.
Did those cultures interact at all?
Well, the picture, last time we ended with late woodland, and starting about 1,000 years ago, the complexity of the archaeological record really increases. We have a lot more information, and there are at least three different archaeological cultures that coexist in that 1,000 to 1,200 year range in our region, one being late woodland, where there are some cultures still building effigy mounds. in the southern half of the state. There's this middle Mississippian intrusion that is the result of contact with very complex cultures that lived in almost city-like large villages in the American bottom, and then a regional expression that we're not clear exactly how it originated, referred to as Oneota, that are agricultural people that appear to not build mounds regularly. So all three of those things are happening simultaneously between A.D. 1000 and 1250 in our region.
And did they interact at all?
Well, certainly in the case of the Middle Mississippian presence, as I mentioned, that archaeologists use this term Middle Mississippian to refer to complex cultures that existed in the American bottom and further to the south. And the largest sort of capital of this great complex culture is Cahokia, a site that is the largest in North America, and perhaps as many as estimates of between 10 to 20,000, maybe even 40,000 in the surrounding area live there. And these folks did send some type of exploration, and you could almost use the term colonists in some cases, up into Wisconsin that interacted with our local late woodland folks. And the best example of that is the site of Aztalan.
Yeah, I would think. What were those cultures, the Mississippian cultures, like? How were they how did they differ from the earlier Indian cultures we've talked about?
Well, it's a very good question, and when I teach Wisconsin archaeology and students are first, we start to talk about Middle Mississippian, like students are amazed that the traditional image that the public has of prehistoric Native Americas in our region is predominantly hunter-gatherers, maybe some corn agriculturists. But Middle Mississippian peoples lived in many cases, nucleated villages with a very complex ranked social structure. At the very top of their society were ruling chiefly elite families that likely inherited their power, very different from many native groups that people are familiar with on the plains or eastern woodland hunter-gatherer groups. This is a very different type of social organization. And these people built large villages often that are palisaded or walled that contain these flat-top pyramid-like mounds.
Hmm. And they depended more on agriculture then?
Yes. When we ended last time with late woodland corn agriculture and beans and squash really pick up in the region by about AD 900. And Mississippian peoples, a significant portion of their diet was dependent upon corn, beans, and squash. And this could support very large populations. It's hard to imagine cities such as Cahokia across from St. Louis in Illinois of 10,000 people living in one location. That would not be possible without the advent of intensive agriculture. And so these people really perfected agricultural practices and used it to support significant numbers of people in large populations.
And you mentioned Aztalan, and we have Aztalan State Park near Lake Mills is probably the best known, as you say, Middle Mississippian site. When did people occupy that site?
Well, there were initial occupations going far back into prehistory. Archaeologists have discovered a variety of cultural occupations at the site, but there's an intensification around AD 900 of local late woodland peoples, and then, and as I mentioned, this intrusion of Middle Mississippian folks arriving sometime in 1150 AD, and it becomes this very unique community with platform mounds, a palisaded walled construction, and very different than the surrounding effigy mound cultures that exist in the region as well.
What was the significance of these types of mounds to their peoples? Do we know?
Well, in the case of Middle Mississippian, these platform mounds appear to have been constructed in a pyramid-like structure with a flat top. These are platforms that supported ritual structures for in some cases, charnel houses that contained the dead of past elite relatives or lineages, religious structures, and the residence of the high-ranking individuals that held special status in these communities. One of the best interpretations to look at Aztalan is this recent book by Robert Birmingham, and Lynn Goldstein. Birmingham's a former state archaeologist. Lynn Goldstein is now a professor at Michigan State, formerly from UW-Milwaukee, and they've recently published Aztalan, Mysteries of an Ancient Indian Town, and it's just an outstanding summary of what archaeologists know about this site.
Absolutely. Well, we have some callers online. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. You can visit us with a phone call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Paul in New Berlin has a question, so let's go to Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hi, thank you. I hope you can help clear up some issues that go all the way back to 95, in which I was encouraged to go down to the Yucatan with as guardian of the staff that had been given by a Native American medicine man, the gathering of the tribes, and was participated in a ceremony down there, sacred geometry of some of the Chichen Itza and Palenque. And then later on, last summer, not this summer, but the year before, there was, at the Indian Summer, there was a ceremony in which soil from around the sacred mounds of Mississippian culture and other mound cultures, even going over other parts of off the continent, were dedicated as part of a medicine wheel ceremony of people coming together and basically healing, coming back into right relationship with the earth. And I had a chance to participate in that also. The issue being that there was some old prophecies that people had come up from the Yucatan, from Central America supposedly, and migrated up, possibly up to the Mississippi culture, all the way up into Wisconsin and Ocalan and whatever, and that there was somehow a connection between a lot of the Americas and these Mound cultures. What do you know about the connection with the Yucatan, the possibility of coming across the Gulf there and up the Mississippi?
All right, thank you for calling.
An interesting question. The name itself refers to these types of ideas and explanations for the origins of Mississippian cultures in eastern North America. Aztalan was discovered by Euro-Americans in the 1830s. A fellow by the name of Heyer wrote the first account. Later, Increase Lapham visited the site and mapped it. And the site got its name because in the mid-19th century, scholars had three primary ideas about who built the mound cultures of eastern North America. One, which was considered quite radical at the time, was that they were in fact built by indigenous native peoples in the eastern U.S. Two, that they were built by some lost European cultures that were subsequently destroyed or wiped out by native peoples. And third, that somehow these mounds were the ancestral homeland of the complex cultures that eventually built many of the great cities in Central America. And Aztalan got its name because one of the original viewers of the site interpreted it as being potentially the homeland of the Aztec. Today we know that's not the case, and there isn't any direct evidence to connect the Mississippian sites in Wisconsin with Central American or Mesoamerican cultures. There are scholars, though, that have suggested that this Mississippian mound building culture, particularly in the southeast, could have had some type of influence from Central America, but that is not yet understood or well documented.
Interesting.
There was a Mayan shaman that came up from Central America to participate in a ceremony at Cahokia Mounds, and his family was the keeper of some of the traditions of the Mayans, and evidently he felt that there was some connection.
Interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We're talking about the Mississippian Indian culture, including Wisconsin's ancient mounds, today with Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County Campus. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll take some more calls as we visit with Dean Tom Plager from the UW-Baraboo Sauk County Campus. He's dean and also a professor of anthropology and archaeology. Daniel in Rice Lake, we'll turn to you next. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello. When did the bow and arrow replace the atlatl and spear in this region?
Very good question. This occurred in late middle to late woodland times. The atlatl and spears likely were continuously used. People continued to use spears, both hand-thrown and potentially atlatl or spear-thrower thrown. But bow and arrow technology probably first appears in Wisconsin around AD 500 to AD 600. And this is an estimate based upon the appearance of small triangular and in some cases notched projectile points that show up stratigraphically at archaeological sites around the state at that time frame.
All right. Interesting. Thanks, Daniel. Linda in Baraboo, on to you.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Linda Meadowcroft, and I have just finished a book about Jan Beaver Gaglione, who was the woman who rediscovered, shall we say, the Ghost Eagle Mounds in Muscadet and assisted with getting the land sold back to the Ho-Chunk. I hope it'll be published this year. It's being reviewed now by people in literary circles and tribal circles.
Oh, great.
The title of the book is Jan Beaver Gaglione, The Spirit Journey of an American Artist. She was a part Cherokee, grew up in an Italian family in New York City. Her mother was Cherokee, never spoke of it. Went on a vision quest, saw ghost eagles flying wingtip to wingtip in her dream, and found those ghost eagles in the earthen mounds alongside the Wisconsin River in Eagles Corners down there in Richland County. There's a few comments I'd like to make about the topic of mounds. One is that there was an Oneida gentleman, Larry Johns, who surveyed for the Parks Department in Dane County for 3.5 years, and he surveyed over 300 individual mounds, 75 different mound groups, and was thereby able to get them registered and preserved through the State Historical Society. There were other groups, the American Earthworks Society among them, who worked very hard with the Ho-Chunk and the different tribes, actually many tribes, taking the lead to preserve certain documents and old maps and field notebooks that gave the locations of mounds, and therefore were integral in the effort to save mounds throughout the south-central corridor of Wisconsin. Another point I'd like to raise is that the amazing alignments to astronomical events and horizon line events that you find in all the mound groups. Apparently, the old knowledge from that the Hopewell cultures of Ohio had, it's the same kind of information that you find here and that you find in the Southwest in the buildings of the different cultures in the Southwest that are known for aligning buildings with certain apertures in the buildings that show the solstice and equinox and other sophisticated astronomical information. So this information was widely known and widely spread, and you still do find it in the alignments of mounds here in Wisconsin, which is very, very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Let us know when your book is coming out as well. But I want to give Tom a chance to comment. Tom?
Well, it's great that, as was mentioned by the caller, that there are groups active involved in mound preservation in Wisconsin. There are still mounds that are undocumented, and a variety of groups, both professional and avocational groups, play a significant role in helping us locate these mounds and make certain that they come to the attention of the State Historical Society and then become cataloged and registered and preserved into the future. So that's a great story and great efforts of local people involved in that type of preservation. Concerning the alignments, there are some archaeological sites, and certainly on Middle Mississippian sites, evidence of cardinal direction alignments. And in the case of Cahokia, there was a wooden circle that acted as almost similar to Stonehenge that tracked where the sun was rising on the horizon. These types of celestial documentation in terms of at least the rising and setting sun and where it appears on the horizon are critical to marking time, and one would predict those types of things in agricultural cultures. Some of the other alignments that the caller mentioned are things that are not well understood yet in professional archaeology. There are some sites that appear to have alignments in Wisconsin and others that is less convincing. The Ohio River Valley certainly does in terms of some of the massive Hopewellian earthworks there, but it's an area that really needs further study in Wisconsin to better understand.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Linda. Appreciate it. Robin in Madison emailed and said, I heard that around the area of Aztalan that there are some underwater structures that are somewhat mysterious as to how they were made and why they were made. Is there any truth to that?
That's an interesting question. This comes up over and over again, and even when I've given a talk or two in Lake Mills, which is where these rock pyramids supposedly are located, and this comes up again. What the, I believe the caller or the person that asked the question is referring to are some structures that are likely geological in origin, and they've been investigated by professional archaeologists and do not appear to be something that's cultural, in other words, made by modern human beings, but rather the product of geology rather than of people.
Okay. Lynn in Burlington, on to you now. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Oh, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to call because there's a lot of investigation that's going on by, like, smaller people, and Mary in Burlington, Wisconsin, is doing a conference this weekend, and I know Frank Joseph has come to the conference before, and he actually happens to be staying with us, and he did a lot of investigation on this, and there's some mounds in Burlington which Mary has had the ground tested, and they're like, this is crematorial ash, and that's just very interesting how they would, you know, why these mounds were made.
Yeah. And
well, there are some mounds that clearly are mortuary in function. That's a primary function of many of prehistoric mounds, that they are sacred places to house the dead. And any activities that involve mounds need to be coordinated with the Wisconsin Historical Society and need to be monitored by a professional. Mounds are considered protected sites in the state of Wisconsin. So any type of research or disturbance or investigation needs to be, again, coordinated through the State Archaeologist's Office at the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and so anybody that would anybody that would like to come to the conference, they can look it up through the Sci-Fi Cafe in Burlington, Wisconsin. And it's just exciting that this stuff is going on.
Thank you very much. The Sci-Fi Cafe in Burlington. All right. Thank you. Lynn, Mark in Wisconsin Dells will turn to you next. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I was wondering about, there's some mounds over in Briggsville, and you never really hear much about them, and I understand that when the lake was created, there was quite a number of them that were flooded over, and I was just wondering if your guest knows about them and what culture they fit into.
I'm not familiar with this particular group. I would, again, I've mentioned this resource before, contact the Wisconsin Historical Society, the State Archaeologist's Office, and they maintain the records, the official registry of archaeological properties in Wisconsin, and they would be a good source to find out additional information about this particular group.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Mark. You can join in, too, by the way, with your question or comment at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. On to Tom in Beloit. Tom, hello to you.
Well, hi, Larry. General, I have a question about the Middle Mississippians in Cahokia. I know that, for example, they have found a lot of materials at Cahokia, such as pipestone, obsidian, seashells, and copper. And given the fact that the Middle Mississippians had such a large trading network, I'm interested in your guest's opinion as to what that means in terms of social learning and contact with other groups in prehistoric America. And I'll hang up and take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Great question. Cahokia is just an amazing community. The largest platform mound there has well over 20 million cubic feet of earth in it. There are a series of platform mounds. It's a massive site, and there is significant evidence for long-distance trade and interaction. One of the most spectacular mounds that's been excavated is Mound 72 that was excavated by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Dr. Fowler, in the 1970s, and the discovery in this mound is a series of burial mortuary features, one of which contained a very high status individual that was had some type of a robe or a garment that was in the shape of a raptorial bird that was made out of marine shell beads, a series of offerings of exotic materials, including arrow points of materials from all across the Midwest extending onto the plains, and even materials from Wisconsin of Hixton silicified sandstone. We know that in Middle Mississippian societies that there were these elite ranked social strata at the very top of families with tremendous power, and exotic materials and certain symbols were controlled and exchanged and used to demonstrate and portray membership of these particular families. And we think that one of the reasons that Middle Mississippian peoples explored and moved in and set up outposts at places like Aztalan and at Tremplo and eventually at Red Wing, Minnesota, were potentially to interact with local peoples to trade for a variety of materials, and some of which are exotic items like the types of materials that your guest or that your caller mentioned. But there also could have been exchange for deer hide, meat resources, plant materials, a whole variety of things that were likely extracted out of the hinterlands and brought back to these Mississippian centers.
Really interesting. What happened to the Mississippian cultures in Wisconsin? Why did they disappear? It was around 1250, wasn't it, A.D.?
Yes, this is a question that is discussed and debated in archaeology and investigated. And to be quite frank, we don't know exactly. There are a variety of potential factors that could have caused the decline in Mississippian culture by A.D. 1250. Cahokia is in decline. Aztalan is likely abandoned. And this could be a result of a combination of forces, environmental change, conflict with local peoples, and the development of complexity of cultures and interactions in the hinterlands away from Cahokia. There are some suggestions that warfare could have contributed to this disease. We really don't know. It could even be a culmination of many factors that caused depopulation of the great Middle Mississippian cities in the Middle Mississippi River Valley, and eventually had a ripple-like effect here in Wisconsin and in other hinterland areas where there were Middle Mississippian outposts, so to speak.
Chet in Green Bay, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Chet.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Great, thanks for calling.
Are you familiar with the mounds at New Lisbon, Wisconsin?
Briefly.
I was just curious, how many people and how long would it take to build mounds such as those?
Well, there have been some experiments done with mound building. We know that from the archaeological excavations that have been done in mounds that many of them appear to be built with basket loads of earth. You can actually see in the stratigraphy discolorations that represent unloading activities of transport of earth. So you have to imagine that these structures were built without the aid of iron tools or steel tools,
right,
without the use of dump trucks, without the use of draft animals, and they were made likely with techniques of gathering earth in baskets and transporting them to a location. And there's tremendous range in mound size, from just several meters to a meter, roughly 3 feet high, to, as I mentioned, Monk's Mound in Cahokia that has over 21 million cubic feet of earth in it. An average-sized mound can be, let's say, of maybe 20 feet across and 3 or 4 feet high, can be constructed in a day's time with a dozen people or so. But some of these larger effigy mound complexes in the Middle Mississippian mound groups would have involved significant construction. In the case of the Middle Mississippian platforms, mounds may have been rebuilt with transition and leadership over a significant period of time.
Interesting. Thanks again, Chet, for calling. Ernest in Vernon County, on to you now. Hi.
Hello. I'm sorry I tuned in late, but could you give me an estimate of how long humans have been inhabited the southwestern corner of Wisconsin?
Well, if you have a chance to look on WPR's archive site, you can visit some of the previous shows that we've covered different topics in Wisconsin prehistory on these shows. And we started out with Paleo-Indian, which are the first peoples in Wisconsin that arrived probably between 12 and 13,000 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, and if you want to go back, go to our website. And Tom has been on, Tom Plager has been on the program. How many months has it been now? It's been quite a few.
I think we're on our fourth or fifth one.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of other previous shows that dealt with specific activities, Man Mound and the artifact identification day that we've held here in Baraboo.
Yeah, that's right. Kirk and DeSoto, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Kirk.
Hi. I was just wondering if the speaker knew anything about the Rush Creek Natural Area, the amount of mounds that are actually out in there, and how long would it take to build 75 mounds over the years?
What natural area? Rush Creek? I'm not familiar specifically with those mound groups. Again, there are a variety of people that are working on the late woodland and Mississippian research. I encourage you to contact your local UW campus. But you have to realize that many of these mound groups were built over multiple generations, that they weren't built with the exception of perhaps Aztlan, a relatively short period of time. But in the case of many other mound groups, they often are compilations of multiple cultures using the landscape as a cemetery or as a sacred landscape for multiple generations. And so what you're looking at, if you're looking at a group of mounds, is it may not have all been constructed at one time, but constructed over significant blocks of time, in some cases several hundred years, and depending upon what types are present, it could be in excess of 1,000 years.
Oh, interesting. Thank you for calling. Dana in Whitewater, on to you. Hi, Dana.
Hi. We live in the Kettle Moraine area.
Yes.
And we have some woods in the back of our property that we've fenced off to have some sheep and goats grazing back there.
Yeah.
And after they've uncovered the brush, there are a few, like maybe 3 to 4 in a row, that look like mounds. They're about just small, a couple meters, and they don't quite match the other topography.
Yes.
So I just wondered if that would be something that somebody would want to check out, and how that would happen.
Well, I would encourage you to contact the State Archaeologist's Office at the Wisconsin Historical Society and relay your property location to the State Archaeologist. John Broyhan's the State Archaeologist there, and that office can see if there is a recorded mound group there or not, depending upon the legal description of the property. But if it's something that, based upon your description, deserves further investigation, the State Archaeologist or archaeologists at universities in your area, I think, would be very interested in assisting you.
Absolutely.
Okay, and where was that again? The State Archaeologist?
Yes, State Archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society, and you can go to the Wisconsin Historical Society's website at wisconsinhistory.org and click on archaeology, and you will find the State Archaeologist's office.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for calling. And Jerry in Beaver Dam, we're on to you now. Hi, Jerry.
Hello there. This has just been a wonderful series you've had, especially this program. I'd like to thank you for it. And I was wondering if your guests had heard about the Nitschke Mounds County Park that's opened recently in Dodge County.
Yes, I have. And my understanding is this is a park that Ho-Chunk were involved in, as well as local community. I don't know the complete history of the reopening of the park there, but it's a fantastic woodland mound group, one that is an excellent example and something that people should take an opportunity to visit.
Exactly what I was going to say.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Well, have a happy Halloween.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Thank you very much for calling. You did mention protections for mounds, and it probably bears repeating a bit, the protections that are out there for mounds today.
Well, mounds are considered in Wisconsin to be burial sites. Many are, and they enjoy some protection. It depends on the type of site that it is and if it's cataloged. But anyone who has mounds on their property, again, I encourage them to contact the state archaeologist's office and to see if their site has been recorded. There are various processes that you can go through if you have a mound group on your property to have it investigated by professional archaeologists and cataloged, that could potentially, depending upon the significance of the site, allow for some type of property tax relief, provided that you agree to preserve the property. So, again, these are non-renewable resources. They're a legacy to the great native cultures that have existed in Wisconsin, and the limited number that we have left, we should be doing everything possible to preserve.
Absolutely. And where can we go, where can a person go to take classes or attend seminars about Wisconsin archaeology?
Great question. Many of the University of Wisconsin campuses in the 26 campus system offer courses in North American or Midwestern archaeology. UW-Madison, UW-La Crosse, UW-Milwaukee, UW-Oshkosh, UW-Fox Valley, the University of Wisconsin Baraboosaw County regularly offers courses. The University of Wisconsin Waukesha, as well as a number of private colleges, Beloit College, Lawrence University, and also there are a significant number of museums in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Public Museum, the Neville Public Museum, the Earth Science Museum, the Weiss Earth Science Museum at UW-Fox Valley. These are all places that you can go to learn about our local prehistory.
And I have one final question for you. Jim in Green Bay emailed in, wondered if it's pure coincidence that the Aztalan settlement occurred around the end of the European Dark Ages.
I think it is a coincidence. There's some discussion about the formation of Aztalan and the end of Middle Mississippian cultures related to climatic change, and that's something that archaeologists have investigated. You can imagine if you have a culture that's heavily dependent upon maize agriculture, that changes in climate could have a catastrophic impact for these peoples.
Sure.
And there's some suggestion to believe from the evidence that that could have occurred at the end of Middle Mississippian times.
Hmm. You are coming back on November 23rd, Tom, and what are we going to be talking about that time around?
Well, we'll talk about the arrival of Europeans and the impact that Europeans had on Native cultures in our region, and what archaeological information can tell us about how that interaction took place, as well as historic documentation. Once Europeans are present on the landscape, not only do we have archaeology as a source of information, but the written accounts of what Europeans encountered in our region assists us in interpreting the past, and that's where we'll end the series, is when Europeans arrived and how Native cultures changed and responded to European influence in Wisconsin and surrounding states.
That's wonderful. It's been a great series so far, Tom, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Tom Plager is Dean and Campus Executive Officer and a professor of archaeology and anthropology at the University of Wisconsin Baraboosaw County campus. And it's been really been an interesting series for me, and I hope for you as well. And we'll look forward to his the last in that series on November 23rd. Coming up, though, we're going to take a look at how eating local can transform our soil, perhaps, our food system, maybe our economies and our communities. Couple of guests for you next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.